We are back on Mondays. We were here with you Tuesday, Bark After Dark. I'm Jay Groh. He's Jay Groose. Bruce, I'm telling you, the lack of an intro, it's just we just come in here buck naked every time without intro music. It's weird.
If somebody in our listening audience has a tie to Lionfish Music Group, please reach out to them about the licensing of Baby Likes to Rocket Like a Boogie Woogie Choo Choo Train. I know that Rowan's inquired about this already.
The Tractors, right?
With the Tractors. A great, great song. And Rose inquired about this already. Maybe prohibitively expensive. We don't know. The hoops
train, to jump through. Train.
the hoops to jump through are a lot. I'm surprised they never had another hit, to be honest with you, by the way.
They sent me, I inquired about the music, and they sent me a list of stuff to fill out that would rival like a, I mean, any
like
doctor.
Security clearance. I mean, it was like getting a security clearance.
Yeah. I wouldn't know anything about that. You would. You've needed security clearances and U.S. Embassy back in your spy days. Back in your spy days.
Right.
Good time to bring this up, Jake. Disclaimer: Dogs HQ's Bark After Dark is a deeply unserious show. You will not hear a whole lot of sports talk on here. We'll get into it a little bit today. This is, by the way, pre-recorded. For those of you that are watching this on Monday night, SEC media days are upon us. We made our feelings known on the Georgia show as far as that goes. But if you're here looking for some serious Georgia talk, you're not going to get it. We're going to get on here. We're going to goof off tonight. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk. We're going to break some rules, break more rules. We that's all we do on the show is we just break all the rules. We're trying to change the world one broken rule at a time. And we're going to do a little AMA. And, of course, you know, we're gonna Jaker bait off and we're gonna have a good time.
Lord.
So what's been going on with you since Tuesday? So it's 6 days. You get in any trouble? Have you gone into debt? How's it going?
I have not gotten into any trouble. I am seeking to go into debt, however. My sister is selling her car. And I think I'm gonna buy it. So that's why I have a collar on today, because I'm going to the bank after we get done recording this. Going to go see about a
little. I thought you might be going to fight a speeding ticket.
I'm going to go see if I can get a little personal loan just to kind of bridge the gap. Listen, I love my car. I have a 93 Toyota Hilux Surf. So it's like the Japanese version of the 4Runner. It's been a great car. But by virtue of being 30 years old, there's just stuff going wrong with it. Window motors are slowing down, et cetera, et cetera. Stuff I don't want to take the time to fix, right? So it's been a great car. I'm looking to sell it, though, but I need something kind of in the in-between. I think this is going to be a good little setup for me. So I'm seeking to go into debt. It's kind of weird. I've never gotten a loan from a bank. The last loan that I received was like one of those online things, and got a pretty good rate on that. But at any rate, I don't know. I feel like you've probably gotten a loan from a bank.
Yeah, I've got loans from all sorts of places.
Shady characters, it's included.
Yeah. I'm one of those people. I just rack up loan after loan after loan, then I declare bankruptcy. I wait for it to clear, and then I do it again. No, I've never done that before. No, I did used to work for a guy who used to brag about how he would say, yeah, man, I got all sorts of cool stuff at my house. I've declared bankruptcy twice. And I'm like, how did you make that happen? He goes, well, you know, back in about 1994, I had a big credit card with a $20,000 limit. I maxed it out and declared bankruptcy. And I was like, under my breath, I was like, yeah, you're a piece. And then he said, yeah, about 10 years later, I did it again. And I was like, well, okay.
That's one way to live, man. I don't know. So I'm curious. Do you have any advice for me when I go into the bank here?
No, none. If you can get them, I mean, I know it's probably a big step for you. You might want to take a picture of the microwave and put it up for collateral.
Somebody said on the Georgia show comments last night that I needed to just one day just go throw a pizza in the middle of the show.
Yeah. Just set some bagel bites in there.
Absolutely.
Dude, I'll be honest with you. I got kids around the house somewhere right now. I can't say bagel bites too loud.
Oh yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, dude, they'll come running like you know, like the If you ever had a dog, when you open the dog food bag and that rustling, like they just, you'll hear them just come screaming down the hallway, ready to come eat. My kids will do that for bagel bites in a heartbeat.
They are your children. And I'm sure that you're, I'm sure that if you smelled bagel bites being cooked in your kitchen, you too would go running toward the kitchen.
There was a time. They're not what they used to be. And God, is this not a Bark After Dark rabbit trail if there's ever been one. They're not as good as they're too saucy. Like they're too, like, they're too, that little, that there's just too much tomato sauce on them now. And they get a little weird. I mean, I'll eat them, but, you know, I'm weird about pizza just in general. Like if it's not like Antico, like, or even as good as like a Mellow Mushroom or an Amici or something like that, if it's not really good pizza, I prefer to let it cool down to room temperature before I eat it anyway. And so sometimes when I make one, and on the rare occasion where there's one or two bagel bites left over, I walk by and just, you know, Noah Sims one, just gout, just throw one in like it's an aspirin and eat it. But otherwise they're not what they used to be, man.
Have you, I feel like that makes me think that you should make some, like you should try to recreate the bagel bite at home, perhaps, use some of those little mini bagels and do your own, man.
Well, you're going to get me fired now because I'm going to get obsessed with it, and that's what I'm going to do. my new obsession is biscuit making.
Yeah, you sent me that recipe. I haven't tried it yet. Are you still leaning on that one?
Oh yeah, I made some more this weekend. I made some more on Sunday. My sister-in-law, and we celebrated my wife's birthday on Saturday, and so my sister-in-law and her husband, my brother-in-law, they stayed here, and I got and made some biscuits for them. We had some leftover steak from the night before. I had a picanha, I shaved off some picanha from the night before, and had a picanha egg and cheese biscuit for breakfast.
I bet that was pretty special.
It was pretty solid. It was pretty good. Yeah. But yes, yeah, it's a little three ingredient deal: self-rising flour, butter, frozen butter that you grade, and then buttermilk. And I'll tell the story. So I was, you know, I love TikTok. I love the ability to just sit there and scroll videos. And Roos can tell you that sometimes I get on a big time roll and I'll just start sending him links of ones that make me laugh. Like my wife, sometimes we're laying in bed and she'll be like, Jay, are you okay? Are you insane right now? Like you've lost your mind. You are wheezing laughing. And Roos knows what that sounds like too. So I came across this recipe. And this lady starts talking about butter biscuits, and she's got kind of thick Southern accent. But I knew that this was the biscuit recipe that I wanted to use. It sold me on one word. She says, the first thing you do is you take 2 cups of flour. And when she said flour, I said, that's my girl right there. This is my biscuit recipe. This is what I'm going with. When she said 2 cups of flour, I was like, I got to do this. And I started making them on vacation when I was at the beach. And, man, I'm full blown into it. I love making these things. I would put them up against, honestly, I think Mama's Boy in Athens probably has the best biscuit of anything that you go in and get. I'd put it up against theirs. I can't make it to the level that they make it, but as far as like as many of them, but if you want to put my 6 biscuits up against Mama's Boy's best 6 biscuits, I can hang in there. I swear to God.
The gauntlet has been thrown down. If someone get us in touch with Mama's Boy, we're going to have a cook-off on Bark After Dark. It's going to be like Bobby Flay, like throwdown with Bobby Flay. You're going to roll in there.
I'm really proud of them, man. I'm really proud of Mama's Boy. I remember when it opened in Athens back in the day, and it was so hard to get into. Everybody loved it. It was just breakfast. It was just so small. And now they've got at least 2 full locations. And when I was Saturday, I give a little plug here for anybody that lives in the Athens Oconee County area. A good friend of ours, Victoria Little, and one of her really good friends, I can't remember her first name, but I know her husband's Adam Leakey, who used to be a student assistant at Georgia under Mark Rick. They started this place over at Wire Park in Oconee County called the Bunny Hive. And it's basically kind of an educational social club for children and stay-at-home moms. It's a cool little deal. And we went to their grand opening, and I found out there that there's like a little pop-up kind of miniature Mama's Boy at Wire Park. It's unbelievable how I've seen so many good businesses, so many with good products come and go in Athens over 21 years here. it's really cool to see one that has grown outrageously since I've been here. And they've done a tremendous job. Still believe, you know, we both vouch for it. The knuckle sandwich is probably the best thing you can eat around here.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, though, man, like that is probably like the only thing that I sought out from Mama's Boy. Like for the most part, I preferred to go to Breadbasket, to be honest with you, and get those greasy ass biscuits from those women that were imported from Hull or wherever they were. I mean, these ladies were not Boulevard townies making the biscuits over there. I can assure you.
They might say flyer.
Yeah, no, exactly. And the thing I loved about Breadbasket was it made me feel like home, man. It was like they pulled something up out of Blue Ridge and plopped it in the middle of Athens. And it was like the same ladies that were cooking biscuits at the local joints up here, man. And so I always kind of dug on it for that reason. Mama's Boy's fine, but I never felt the need, like the waiting and the, you know, trying to get in. And it was like, it was, I don't know, man. I just never developed the affinity for it. And I'm also just not a huge breakfast guy. You know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're not a big. I mean, I personally could live off eggs for the rest of my life. I've never seen Jake Roos eat an egg. Like I've never. Yeah, I don't recall.
I don't really like them. I do like pickled eggs.
I do too. I absolutely.
I do enjoy a pickled egg, but like a fried egg or a scrambled egg, nah, miss me with it. I'm not. Once in a while, maybe some cheese scrambled eggs or something like that. But for the most part, I'd rather sub in some extra toast or get some extra sausage or something.
Scrambled eggs, fried eggs, over easy eggs, over medium, poached. I'm sounding like Bubba from Forrest Gump right now.
Poached is a good egg. Now, poached is a good egg. I do like an eggs Benny. Right,
yeah.
Eggs Benedict is an elite dish. The hollandaise is tremendous, but for the most part, like I'm just not going to order a fried egg on a side for breakfast. That's just not my style.
Yeah, and we had some leftover salmon this weekend, and I had the whole idea that hey, listen, I'm going to make some eggs Benedict with some salmon. You know, it's like salmon with the biscuit and the salmon. Poached egg hollandaise. And then I started looking into hollandaise. And I'm like, I'm not going to do this. I don't have time.
Sure.
I can't carve out my whole weekend to make hollandaise.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, it doesn't overcooked egg, you know, like, you know, the kind of egg that Gordon Ramsay would throw at you. I'll eat it. I don't care. For some reason, I've just always been an egg sandwich, scrambled, fried, doesn't matter.
Have you ever done ketchup on your eggs?
When I was young. And I'll be the first to admit, like, and I'm not ashamed to admit this. And like, if I'm eating a ribeye or a good New York strip or something like that, I'm no steak sauce. Let's eat it. Or if there's a house made steak sauce that I'm eating at a real nice steak restaurant, I'll try it out just for that. But if I'm eating like a cheap sirloin or a piece of steak, I'm not a big filet guy. Like I'd prefer to, you know, if I've got some filet left over, I'll dice it up and put it in a taco before I eat it as a steak. It just doesn't have a whole lot of flavor to me. But if I'm eating like a cheap piece of sirloin or something like that, I eat it with ketchup. It takes me back to the Western sizzling days when I was a kid and I got it on that little charger plate. My parents bought me that cheap, tough cut of steak that I thought was so good. Yeah. And I dipped it in the ketchup, you know, so it just takes me back to my childhood. But I like ketchup, but not on eggs. A little hot sauce, maybe. Sometimes some salsa. If I got an omelet, some salsa, and some sour cream.
Salsa is pretty good with some eggs. Yeah, I can get down with
that. Yeah. But I can live off those things. But yeah, I mean, you bring up the bread basket. Another big appeal to the bread basket over Mama's Boy is the fact that I could go in there and just get them to heap a handful of bacon onto a piece of light bread, put a little mayo on it, and eat that. And I can get it for $2.50 as opposed to going to Mama's Boy and dropping $15.
Exactly. No, that's exactly it. Like that was my primary go-to breakfast. I would get basically a bacon and tomato sandwich on untoasted white bread, smothered mayonnaise. Oh God, it's tomato season here as well, and always huge news.
I need to get to the farmer's market on Saturday morning this week. I need to make sure I get to the farmer's market. They've always got. I didn't grow my own tomatoes this year, and they got those Cherokee purples up there.
Oh, yeah.
They're just fantastic, and I always run into somebody I know at the farmer's market, which is also pretty nice. And I tell you what, man, one of the coolest things around here is the amount of beef farmers, the amount of grass-fed beef farmers that have popped up, and you can get all that stuff, and it's really good. All right, so let's break a rule here. We broke one rule with Bark After Dark, which was we've interviewed our competitors, okay? And, you know, Roos has been told, right? It was. That was one of the big pillars of our mission statement, was to interview the people that are competing against us. And we wanted to tell their stories and show, dude, we love these guys and they're our friends. And you know, this is not, we didn't want to be WWE. We didn't want to fight in public and then show, you know, then be friends behind the scenes. We don't fight in public, period. And then we also are friends behind the scenes. We've actually gotten advice you have from somebody that you really know well and admire has told you, you shouldn't do that. Also heard the same thing. You should not, you know, do that, but who cares? It doesn't matter. We're here for entertainment, to have fun and to indulge ourselves. So that brings me to this. You never really talk about how your show is going or how good of a job or how bad of a job you think you're doing. So I wanted to ask, since, you know, it is against the rules and that means that we should probably do it. How's Bark After going, in your opinion? I don't think this episode's going particularly well.
just to be clear, lay that one out there.
Yeah, I feel like anybody who was listening to us talk about what we like to eat in Athens is probably like, these guys are idiots.
Probably. Now, I got to tell you, man, it's gone really well, and I'm glad that we've stuck with it. And it really is a pleasure for me to do. I enjoy doing Bark After Dark. I have a lot of fun with it. I'm glad that the feedback has been what it's been, which is people are like, I feel like I'm just hanging out with you guys having a beer. And that's always what we wanted it to be, was just kind of us chilling out. In case you haven't picked up in the 50 plus episodes that we've done of this show, we're not very serious people, and this is what we're like. I can't tell you how authentic this show is in terms of who we are and how we talk to each other when we're away from it. I mean, this is what it's like to be on the
phone. We do have to tone it down a little bit, you know,
But I mean, for the most part, it's pretty spot on. I think it's going pretty well, man. I think we've got a dedicated lawyer or a listener base.
We might need a
dedicated lawyer, probably. But we've got a good listener base. You know, I mean, of course, do I want more views? Do I want more people downloading the shirt? Of course.
Would I love to get rich off of this show?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. But we do it for the hell of it. We do it for fun. And I've been having fun. And as long as I'm having fun, that's what motivates me to keep going personally.
If the measure of success is how much fun we have doing it and how loyal our regulars are,
yeah,
then we're killing it. You know, I mean, again, I mean, you can look at the numbers. We don't have to show them to you. Like, you know, you can look on there and see, you know, a couple thousand people listening, seeing one of these. I haven't looked at the podcast numbers, but a couple thousand people watching one of these on YouTube is a really good day for us. So it's not like we're out there grabbing 15,000 views on YouTube and making a ton of money via YouTube. And that never was really the point. The point was, let's get on here. Let's be authentic. Let's let people get to know who we are. And let's see if we can win the loyalty of Rusty Mansell's mother.
Yeah. And, mission accomplished. The grand plan.
She hasn't reached out to us personally. She said nice things to Rusty. Sometimes I wonder if Rusty might be making that up, and that's basically proxy for him saying how much he loves the show.
You know, he's on vacation this week. You know, he's listening to us. I mean, he's on the beach. He's got the headphones in, and he's probably streaming the whole show, just going from the beginning up to now. So
yeah, just rewatching.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I know he's got nothing better to be doing than listening to us.
Oh man, yeah, it would I wish we could get him shirtless on here, just with the wind over down there at 38, just whipping and him trying to saying, just get him on.
Let me ask you, who's been your favorite guest?
My favorite guest, I mean, Chuck Dowdle.
I mean, yeah, obviously, that's mine too, for sure. I got to tell you,
personally, I would say this, though. If you take Chuck out, I've just got a real soft spot for the John T. Edge episode.
Sure.
I wanted that one really badly because I think, I don't know, man. I think the world of his work, and I feel like it is a buttoned up, the right way to do it. Couth version of just my dream, you know, like, I mean, I can't be what he is. Like, I can't be as sophisticated and as good of a wordsmith and as good of a storyteller as John T. Edge is, but I would love to give that a try and be able to do what he does. Like, if John, honestly, like, we want to know what would, like, make my career, my life. If John was like, "Hey, Jake, listen, I like what you guys do, and, you know, it's not really a Bark After Dark thing, but I would love to, like, come and do an episode of SEC South, and you guys kind of, let's just mill around Athens and enjoy Athens and be a part of that." It wouldn't be like, it would be more doing it with him and listening to him talk about the things that he knows about Athens and stuff like that from having been there and flunked out and been a Georgia guy. It would just be so much fun, man. And I've got a real big soft spot for that episode. I don't know if I would put it in a favorite category, but I feel the best about that episode, and I'm really glad we were able to do it. I enjoyed the Mark Schlabaugh episode a lot too.
I got to tell you, it was one of our very earliest episodes, but it has never left me when Dean Leggy broke that money out.
Oh, Dean Leggy, it's really hard once you start to break them down, because the Dean Leggy episode was fantastic. Bill Shanks was fantastic. Brandon Adams and Jeff Centel were so great. Like, those were so fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed Roddy, Roddy had some great stories. I mean,
Roddy had some great stuff.
We've really been very lucky to have everybody that's come on. Everybody's been super cool, super accommodating. I really appreciated that they've taken their time to do it. And we've laughed a lot, man. But God, Dean Leggy breaking out the money. Like, where did that – I still don't know where that money came from, why he had it on hand.
Dog post petty cash? I don't know.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was so, so good.
And I'll tell you something else about Dean Leggy that folks may not know. For years and years and years, I'm talking about going all the way back to like 2012, which, I mean, you know, I'm not sure how good everybody is at math. That was 12 years ago. All right. You go all the way back to 12 years ago. And I can remember everybody that Dean has brought on to work with him is somebody that I've always gravitated toward.
Sure.
Like Jonathan Branch back in the day. Like, I used to sit beside Jonathan Branch during the press box. I was beside him in the press box when Georgia lost that heartbreaker to Alabama in the 2012 SEC championship game. Dean himself, you know, Matt DeBerry, Dylan, God, I can't remember Dylan Weber.
Yeah.
Ryan Curley, the guy that works for me now. A lot of those guys are so much younger than I am oftentimes. And I'm still like, these are Dean's guys.
I love Coach DeBerry, though, man. DeBerry's
just great. Coach DeBerry.
Getting a piece of the DeBerry pie. I mean, he's one of the great dudes. But yeah,
I watched his dad grow up. Like, I watched him go from like part timer, you know, just getting into the business. Like, "Hey, man, it's so good to meet you. I've been reading your stuff." And then now he's like, you know, he's got a kid. Maybe two kids. I'm not 100% sure. I don't see him as much as we used to because he's full time in recruiting. He's doing this whole thing. Just watch that kid grow up, man. And he's the best. He's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out Coach DeBerry, man. We love you, buddy.
Coach DeBerry, you're our guy.
We need to get Matt on. Matt would make a fun episode for sure. But yeah, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like we have accomplished what we set out to do. I mean, I'm not saying that as if like we're pulling the plug or anything, but I feel like we to this point have largely kind of made this show what we hoped that it would be. And it's taken probably in more interesting direction, I think, even than I could have guessed, because it's gone a little bit more, not that it was ever
political. We're super political now. We talk politics all the time. Yeah,
sure. No, it's going. It's a lot more off the cuff and natural. And it's one of those things too, that like so often before we start recording, I'm like, what the hell are we going to talk about? And then I look at the thing and it's 45 or an hour later.
Right? Yeah. And hey man, like the whole thing that's like, hey man, it's okay if we only go 25, 30 minutes tonight. And then you look up and it's like, oh, well, let's try and wrap this thing up before it hits an hour. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, we do that all the time.
Yeah. And I love that. I think that that's great. I think that speaks to how much fun we're having.
So with that in mind, three guys that you know we're going to, three guys that we know we're going to have on at some point and you know, we're excited to have on. So Matt DeBerry would be one of those guys. Yes. I'll go one, Cole Kubelik. We're going to get Cole on here at some point. There's no doubt in my mind. Who's some other, we can go more than three. Who are some other guys that, like, not only do you want them to come on, but you feel confident we're going to get them on at some point?
I do feel confident that at some point we are going to get Claude Felton. I have felt that for some time. I don't know when.
But I feel like I'm going to need some zip ties and duct tape to make that happen. Maybe a police report from his wife.
He's an elusive cat. I don't know why, but I have a feeling we're going to get Claude. And I think the Claude episode is going to be a good one, especially if he's, I don't know what post-retirement Claude is, you know, like I've only ever known him to be the utmost professional. So is he like super unbuttoned now? I don't know. Is he going to be like drinking a Mai Tai while he's on?
You know, upon retirement, the person I think I would pick this guy over Claude. Post-retirement, in the Georgia Sports Info vein. I think I would like to have Mike Mobley on.
Mobley would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jigs. Old Jigs Mobley.
Yeah. Yeah.
If those of you don't know, Mike Mobley is Georgia Sports Info guy. He's always worked with football, but he's Georgia Sports Info guy for men's basketball and a couple of other things. But he is fantastic.
Good people, man. Great son, Kevin Mobley. Yeah. Love that dude. K-Mob. Steady Mobbin, we used to call him back in the Clark Central days. And then his sister, Mike Mobley's sister, was my mentor teacher when I was going through my
– Did not know that.
Cheryl Sauls at Winder Barrow High School. Wonderful, wonderful woman. Just was tremendous to me and somebody that I still stay in touch with. She meant a lot to me.
All right, let's get into this AMA for Bark After Dark. We got some questions from the folks over at Dogs HQ. And did we get any questions via Twitter?
We did. We got a great one from Twitter. We could go there first, or we can start with the board.
Go there first. Let's go to Twitter first.
All right. So a great, great, great question, like I said, from my guy, Alvin Todd, one of my favorite people. So Alvin and I will give you a little bit of background on this. I was sitting at the Blind Pig. I believe it was after it had moved downtown off of Washington Street. I was having lunch one day, and
we saw Ric Flair.
We did see Ric Flair there, but this was a different time. I was eating by myself this day, and I ordered, I think, and this guy kind of leans over to me, and he's like, hey, are you Jake Roos? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, man, I listened to you on the radio. It was Alvin. And Alvin and I had several meals at the Blind Pig after that. We just run into each other. A great dude, though. Always enjoy talking to Alvin. He still hits me up on Twitter. I'm so glad he does. And I would love to have a meal with him at the Blind Pig here in the very near future. But he asks a very good question because it applies to both of us. And he says, as the beginning of the school year nears, do either of you guys have any PTSD still lingering from your prior profession?
No, I do not. Actually, as the school year nears, I get really, really excited because usually I've had 2 months of my wife and kids at home. Not that I don't, I would love to have them at home, but it's very hard to work from home when they have things that they're doing. And listen, they won't even bother me. Right. They'll be like, hey, my wife will be like, hey, I'm going to take the kids to the pool tomorrow. And I'm like, but I want to go, you know, and so I'm over here, you know, like I want to be with them and I want to hang out with them. They're my people. I love my family. And so like I'm over here, like just, you know, trying to figure out how I can like make it happen. And I'm trying to figure out how to make it go. And everybody else has got plans over the summer. So there are days when like my wife's like, hey, we're going to go do this. And let's say Rusty's on vacation and Palmer's, you know, driving back from somewhere that he's been, you know, doing some stuff for work. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go. And I'll take my computer out poolside and just work from a chair so that I can hear my kids play. But yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, it's kind of nice to get them back into a regular routine. And I've got some silence at home that I can get some things done. But no, I don't really have any PTSD anymore. I never really did, honestly. It was I was just so excited to not have to start the school year again. It was amazing.
I absolutely had PTSD after I left teaching. They're like not even a thought, not a question. I mean, for probably, I would say, a good 5 to 6 years after I quit, I would have like back to school dreams. And it was stressful, man. And I think so much of it was the fact that my schedule, and like, it was like my, you know, it's like your body knows, man. And like my body knew based on the time of year that it was time for school to start. And since I had been 5 years old until, well, really since I'd been like three, from like three until, gosh, I quit when I was probably 26, 27. So, you know, 20 plus years, I had kept the same schedule. My life revolved. Okay, when August happens, that's when you go back to school. I'd gone, you know, straight from high school to college to right into the teaching profession. And so it was just like so deeply ingrained in me. And so for years after I left, I had dreams that I was back in the classroom and things were like not going well and kids were crazy, which really never happened. That never was an occurrence that kind of threw me off, but it was pretty wild that I still had that after all those years. I dreaded it, man. And I would wake up and those dreams felt so real. Do you miss it ever?
There are certain things I miss about it. You know, like when you're working from home and I've got to drive, you know, 25 minutes to Athens and set up some things to eat lunch with some folks that I enjoy being around. Like, you know, I mean, it was cool. You know, the people I taught was some really cool people, some great people. And it was always fun to, like, you know, all cram into a classroom or teach a workroom and eat lunch and talk, you know, shit to each other about our days and stuff like that. That was a lot of fun. I miss that part. I do miss coaching a lot. Like I miss like running out to practice and knowing those kids were like I was when I was in high school football practice, which was like, I don't want to be here. And then you bring the energy and you get them rolling and then they're into it and you're into it. And I miss the Friday nights and stuff like that. But I wouldn't trade what I do right now for that.
Sure.
But the only thing there's only a few things I'd rather do. One of them's not work at all. So
yeah, me too, buddy.
Let's have the money.
No, I miss that too. To me, that was the biggest thing. That was honestly the hardest thing was not working around people anymore. I miss the camaraderie of it. You know, like there, and you know, we did all kinds of goofy stuff, man. You know, we had a NASCAR pool. We all played fantasy football together. You were in the league with us.
Professional development, baby.
Professional development league. You know, we did a master's pool one year. I mean, if there was gambling to be done, we did it. We were quick to throw some money down in the halls for sure. But you know, I missed that. I missed the camaraderie. And that was a big adjustment for me coming out of teaching, for sure. Learning how to work from home was hard. And it wasn't really, honestly, I never really got very good at it. I'm still not very good at it. I do better when I go somewhere to work. I don't do very well when I sit at my house.
I miss the kids, too, because sure. They, like, it wasn't every day, it wasn't every class. But, man, sometimes some of the most hearty laughs I've ever had in my life came from the classroom. Like, and some of them were at my expense. Like there was a girl, I'll never forget her name. I think I've brought this up on the show before. There's a girl named Diamond Oliver. Her first name, Diamond, God-given name or mother-given name.
Yeah.
She hit me up one day in the hallway, yelled at me from like 50 yards or 50 feet away and said, "Hey, Coach Rowe, where your neck at?"
I love that story. Made me laugh so hard.
There was another one where, you know how it is, like, you know, you're just kind of getting by. I think it was late in the school year, and I've never been big on wearing pants to begin with. I like wearing shorts, and I had like two pairs of khaki pants, a pair of navy blue pants, and sometimes I'd wear the same pants like 3 days in a row. You know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That was one of the big secrets.
And apparently one day I was walking up and down the aisle and a student touched my pants with a Sharpie. Right. Yeah. I didn't know it. Next day, I'm walking up and down the aisle, and that student goes, "See, I told you he wears the same pants every day." And I said, "What do you mean? I just got two pairs of pants like this." And they're like, "Nah, what? Look at there. I put that Sharpie mark on there yesterday." Red-handed, dude. Yeah. Red-handed. And those were just absolutely hilarious. I had a student one year that was that had an IEP. He was dyslexic, and we had this poster on the room. And one of the sponsors was like a football schedule or something. One of the sponsors were Subway. And I don't know why this hit me so funny, but he walks up and he goes, Hey, listen, y'all call 706-540, yada, 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 whatever the other four numbers was. Order me a long foot with some chips on the side." and I was like, "What?" He goes, "Subway, bro, Subway." I said, "Oh, okay, a foot long." He goes, "Yeah, whatever, man." Yeah. And it just ordered me a long foot.
I love that.
Just stuff like that. That was a lot of fun. But I wouldn't go back to teaching.
I'm not suggesting that you would return. I was just curious.
If they fired me, or if this whole industry went tits up and I had to, do something, I'd go back to teaching to support my family, but I'd be miserable. I'd hate it.
Sure. I'd think of how I'd think of how to run away and start a new life every day.
I'd fake my own death, maybe.
I got hit up a couple years ago by somebody I used to work with, and they were like, "Hey, there's this job open, and I really think you could get it." And it was like my dream job. It was my high school. It was working at my old high school, and it was like, she was like, "Hey, I could help you." And I was just like, "Man, I don't think I can go back. I can't do it anymore. I'm not built like that anymore." I think I've become, honestly, part of it too is I think I've become so obtuse since I've left. I'm a lot more unhinged than which is just a byproduct of growing older, I think too, but I'm a lot more unhinged than I was back then.
Yeah, no doubt. Probably. I've also thought about the fact that, like, just to kind of get a taste of it occasionally, like maybe I would substitute like two or three times a year just because, I do enjoy being around the high school kids, and they're so fun and so funny. But then I thought about, like the fact that I've actually got another job and I don't really need this. I mean, would I walk out in the middle of the day? Would I say some really out of pocket shit and get in trouble? Would I curse a kid out if he really pressed my buttons the wrong way? It's probably just not a good situation. Our man, Jim Leahy, love that name, by the way. Yeah. On our board, asked us on the Dogs HQ dog walk, asked, "Would you rather the Braves win three straight World Series or the Hawks win the finals and the Falcons win the Super Bowl in 2025? I think we all know my answer to this. I don't care anything about the Hawks or Falcons, so go Braves. Let's win three straight World Series.
We're on complete opposite ends of the spectrum with this, and that's fine. I mean, I've got no problem with the Braves, and I hope that people don't read it as me being like that. But the fact of the matter is, I just don't really watch a lot of baseball anymore. When I was a kid, I did, and I would love to see it for the Falcons. I don't give a shit about the Hawks. That's whatever. I really don't know many people who do, to be honest with you. I think the Hawks are just so middling. Not that the Falcons aren't, but the Falcons have at least been kind of exciting for some times. You just never had any hopes for the Hawks. So I would definitely trade a Braves World Series for a Falcons Super Bowl. It's not a thought in my mind. I would love to see the Falcons do it. It broke my heart that they didn't do it when they had the opportunity. It's probably one of the worst sports moments of my entire life, if not the worst, I think. It really changed, and it really changed how I watched it after that. It broke my heart that badly that, like, I just couldn't get as excited as I used to after that Super Bowl loss.
All right, in classic Bark After Dark fashion, time has gotten away from us. We are 40 minutes in, and we've still got to take off. So we got one more question. Best and worst moment of your career? I would say best moment of my career is the media workroom after – not the media workroom, the media hospitality room after the second national championship. I've said this before, that game started locally at a very reasonable time. I think like 6 p.m. local, 11 o'clock. We're in the media hospitality room after the national championship, celebrating the season. It was the high point of my career. It's so fun just hanging out with all those folks and it being, you know, I'm not worried about a flight the next day or anything like that. So that was awesome. Worst moment, I would probably have to go traveling all the way to Valdosta to cover Valdosta Lounge game, thinking I could get an interview with Josh Harvey Clemens. Standing on the sideline, Lounge is winning that game. Everything's good. Valdosta scores like 14 or 17 points in like a minute 40, wins the game, and Josh Harvey Clemens doesn't give me an interview. That sucked real bad. That was terrible.
That's tough. That's always – mine would definitely have to be something like that. There's those moments like – or like when you go to a game and the kid you're there to see, just their team gets their eyes beat in. And you're just like, oh, God, I hate to do this. Or, you know, I mean, like, there's times I've skipped it. Yeah, those are tough. That's really a bad deal when that happens. I would say best moment. God, I don't know. The Justin Fields thing was really fun. I mean, obviously, yeah. the Justin Fields thing was super fun. Going and standing in the woods of that subdivision. I can't believe I didn't get the police called on me. I mean, I just drove into a neighborhood, got out of my car, and just wandered into the woods toward the high school. I mean, people should have probably taken a lot larger notice. And in retrospect, I probably shouldn't have done it. But I did it, and that was fun. And I got a fun little video out of it. You know, that was a pain in the ass, though, because we were supposed to, you know, they told us, oh, yeah, come to the school, no problem. And so everybody showed up, and then they were like, no, you can't be here when he does it. And
the helicopter. So then,
and, yeah, right. And so then, yeah, so then Fox 5 had the helicopter out, and everybody was scrambling, and I just, like I said, I just walked into the, I don't know what possessed me to do that. I guess I didn't have anything better to do, so I figured I should find something to do with the time. That was a highlight.
Yeah, that is a cool story for sure. All right. We're not sure how much time we have, so we better hurry. You know, anybody could be home at any moment. Let's check out.
That was one of the better ones.
So in light of recent events, I wanted to ask you, in light of recent events, I had to ask you, in any way, in any form, have you ever been shot by anything?
Yeah. Yes. I've been shot with a paintball gun.
Okay.
Which hurt like a bastard, for sure. Other than that, I don't think so. I'm not a big gun guy. I don't do the airsoft stuff. I haven't played paintball a lot. I've played like twice, I think, in my life.
I've actually never played it. I've never been shot by. I've shot a paintball gun before, but I've never actually played paintball or been shot by one. No, I've never been shot by one.
It sucks. I mean, it hurts a lot.
Yeah, I bet it does.
Yeah, it's a real bitch, and it's a real stinging pain. It's like it sticks with you. You know, you get hit, you're just like you're just wincing for like you know a few minutes. So, yeah, that sucks. I think that's it though. Have you?
Yeah, we used to play BB gun war. Okay. And I used to get shot by, I've been shot by those probably dozens of times. Those hurt as well. The one that hurt the worst though, I got shot in the hand. I was like behind like a log and I was like pointing to somebody to do this. And somebody just thought it pertinent from about 25 feet away to shoot my hand. And he shot me like right here. And man, that hurt. Been shot in the back, shot in the legs, all that stuff. Also, I've been shot by a nail gun, but not like what you might think. My brother was, we used to work with my dad. My brother was always notorious for taking the toe, which is a safety feature on the nail gun. You have to press it down to actually shoot it. He was notorious for taking those off because it made the nail would shoot. There would be more force behind the nail. And he was shooting some decking up onto a drying in a roof one time with some OSB board, and he missed the studs. He had the studs marked wrong, and I was down below him. And all of a sudden, it was like ting, 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 bing, bing, just hit me like twice. They were stuck in my shirt. It kind of scratched me. So that was another time that happened. And I thought I was shot once when my brother and I were, my dad were, we were shooting loggerhead turtles one time as they stuck their heads up with a little .22 rifle with a scope, and it had a top eject on it. And that little hot shell popped out and went down the neck collar of my shirt. And I was like, I'm hit. Ricochet, I'm hit.
Sure.
But yeah, I figured it would be pertinent to ask, okay, have you ever been nicked or shot by anything?
All right. So mine was thinking about kind of, we were talking about our former professions. We've been talking a little bit about our current profession as well. I'm curious, what's the best job you've ever had that was not this?
I don't know, man. I never really had a good job.
Like, come on. There had to be something. Like, you didn't have somewhere you worked with some cool people, or like the vibes were chill. You know,
when I worked at the hospital, I worked at Athens Regional Medical Center in patient business. I think my technical title was customer service assistant, but I was basically kind of like the office manager, but I didn't really manage anybody. I just managed like office supplies and made sure every, kind of facilitated a lot of different things, handled like return mail and stuff like that. That was a cool job because I worked with a bunch of older ladies, and they were always bringing in like food, and they were always like taking care of me. I was a fish out of water. I mean, I was stuck out like a sore thumb. I was just like 20. Let's see, what year was this? This would have been like 06, 07. And I was still in school at the time, and I was working full time there. But so I worked there for about 18 months. And so I would have been 23, 24 years old. And they liked me. Like they would be like, hey, they'd bring stuff for lunch or whatever. And then if I liked it, they would like make it for me and bring it just for me to have. And it was, that was just a cool environment. It was like being around a lot of moms and grandmas, who were just real nurturing and really cool people. And some characters, dude, some absolute characters. And not only that, I also kind of fell in love with sports talk radio during that time because, growing up in South Georgia, we never had a sports talk radio station, and I would just listen to 960 The Ref all day long. I had like I don't even know if they definitely didn't have wireless earbuds at the time. I had this little transistor radio that I'd put in my pocket and run a wire and just have it in my ear all day. And man, that was a lot of cool days. Went by pretty quick. I enjoyed that job.
There you go. We did have we got one real late entry here from our Ask Me Anything. This is a quick one. Are you going to buy do you have a system, and are you going to buy
it? No, I'm not going to get it.
You're not going to get it?
Yeah, I'm not going to get it because I don't have a PS, PlayStation or an Xbox that would handle it. And I'm not going to go spend $500 just to spend 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 more.
If you were going to, the question was not that. The question was, if you were going to have it, who would you play with not named Georgia?
Wake Forest.
Would you go back to Wake?
Nah. No, it doesn't. I don't know. I always kind of gravitate towards a great running back or a great quarterback, like a great dual threat quarterback. I don't know, maybe Colorado. Just to kind of see what that would be like. Get my childhood, my favorite athlete of my childhood, Deion Sanders, up over the hump as a coach, maybe. Not Georgia. I don't know, man. That's a tough question. I'd kind of want to look at the rosters and kind of see who's got what.
I
was always a big fan of bringing somebody up. I never was the kind of person that's like, I would go get a Sunbelt team and try to win the national title with them. But I would like to grab like a lower level Power 5 team and try to bring them to glory, like Northwestern or like Purdue or somebody like that.
Sure. Yeah. I used to, like, in 06, the 06 game I played, I built my own school, and that was a lot of fun. I built like I called it the University of Epworth, because that's just down the street here. And we played at Fannin County High School Stadium, and that was, I built it all out. There's a track around the field, so it was very reminiscent of how it actually was. So I enjoyed the custom teams, but yeah, I'm with you. Like a Northwestern would be fun. Somebody like a UCF or a USF Would probably be good. You know, you could get a nice pipeline state. I do like a pipeline state. It was one of the things that always hamstrung me when I was playing as Oregon for all those years. It was my pipelines were not that strong. So, but I won't be getting it either. I would be interested to play it. I mean, I would sit down and probably play a round or two of it, but I'm not going to make the investment necessary to go get a system.
No. If we've got some people out there watching the show that's got some PlayStation or Xbox contacts, and you're like, hey, let's get these guys one of these things and, you know, send them over.
We would make an episode of Bark After Dark. If you'll send us an Xbox and we can play online against each other, it would make for a hell of an episode, I think.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But yeah, if I could get one of those for free, I'd probably do it. I'd probably spend the money on the game itself, but I'm just not going to go buy one of those and do that. We got a Nintendo Switch. I play MLB The Show. Which we just got here recently because it was like half off. Listen, man, I'm 41 years old and, you know, pocket watching myself all the time. So I try to take care of my money. You know, used to go spend that money without any sort of return other than, you know, wasting my time and probably getting yelled at for, you know, not paying attention to anybody, because I will get swallowed up in a video game pretty quick.
Sure.
All right, folks, we'll be back with you next week. Don't know who we're going to have. Maybe one of those guys we talked about we're definitely going to try and get. We're working on guests, but if not, it'll just be us. And hopefully we'll start the show a little quicker this time rather than talking about why we like Breadbasket over Mama's Boy. But until then, we love you. We appreciate you. Y'all take it easy.
Roof,
roof, roof.